Aidan Troy, a name very familiar to us here in Northern Ireland, given what he had done for many years in Northern Ireland, now lives in France, Father Aidan Troy. He lives in Paris. Father, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Aidan. Good morning. As you waken up to this news today, what are your thoughts?
I was absolutely shocked. I could hear the messages on the phone during the night, and then I looked at it and I saw it was Nice. And I had, I think, sort of a particular... Last week, there's a family of parishioners here. The father's Irish, the rest of the family are French. And they really put a lot of pressure on me to go down to Nice with them for a few days' break. And I would have loved to have gone, but in fact, it didn't work out, Stephen. Well, naturally, my first thought naturally with them was to see. So I contacted them, and like anybody waiting for news, it seemed an eternity before I got a message back. And thank God they're all right. But as you were, I just heard you there saying nothing can describe. It's almost like in the pit of your stomach, you just feel, OK, I'm in Paris. I'm 5.5 hours away even by train from it. But it's like as if it happened in the street. And I was here November the 13th. I was here on January when the Charlie Hebdo happened. And I just see on the news here now that 3 days of national mourning have been decreed by the government. And even that, at least, I think it's almost like, and you mentioned very kindly my time in Belfast. When anything terrible happens, and I know I'm probably not making much sense, there is a sense of absolute sort of desolation. That's the only word I can think of. And I've been talking to quite a few people this morning. We had Mass here this morning at 8:30. And it was just different. Everybody knew that something awful had happened. And those 84, God love them, and so many children in it, and so many injured, and sort of the scars of this will go on forever.
I think, and I know this isn't relevant given the big picture, Aidan, but it's relevant for us here in Northern Ireland discussing this. I think because of the ease with which we can fly to Nice, in other words, the easy jet flights, relatively cheap, back and forward, that there will have been quite a few of us who will be very, very familiar with that location where that happened. You know, the Northern Ireland fans, for goodness sake, were out there just a matter of days ago.
That's quite right.
And those that lovely landscape that many of us know was covered in human blood last night.
I think that's a very point very well made, that if, terrible as it is, I have people here, for instance, in the parish from places like Aleppo in Syria. I have people from Iraq. I have people from all over the place. And when there's a killing of, say, the same number, it is awful. And they tell me how awful it is. But the point you've made is it's almost like it was somewhere that we all know. It's somewhere that most of us have been at some stage or another. And indeed, with the Euros just finishing and with the tremendous impression that fans north and south, east and west made from Ireland, it just is like it happened to somewhere that's not a remote place. And I think that brings it very, very close to us all. At least I'm sure what you've said is absolutely true. And I'm sure there are people waking up this morning who've either been there with their families or were there for football or were there to bring the children there. And as you say, flights go in and out so easily to Nice. And that I think it adds to the sense of shock and also to the sense of closeness to us. This morning I made contact, I don't know whether it got through to him, with the Bishop of Nice, offering that if there was anything that could be done from this end here, I'd certainly be very happy to do it. And I think that's sort of the feeling. You have to do something and you don't know what to do.
As a religious person yourself, let me put this question to you. How would you respond to one of our callers today who asked for an explanation as to how these people are doing this in the name of their religion, their belief? That's what's driving them. How do you start to tackle that?
Well, I think you know, you and I and all of your listeners know how hard it is to get people together to look in the one direction. It is so difficult. And yet, there is no other way. Because the big difference, Stephen, is this, that the man who was killed last night driving that big white truck, his aim and ambition was, whatever about the killing, was that he would die a martyr. Now, we know that most people do not want to die, no matter what they're doing. And this is what makes it particularly difficult. And that's what makes dialogue almost impossible. But still, there has to be some way. I was listening to a little bit of French radio this morning, and they're talking about trying to make sure that people are got in time before they become radicalised. Now, this is all long-term stuff, and I don't, obviously I'm not an expert in this, but I think there has to be something done. And I think the fact that I know the French government are meeting again for the second time this morning.
Yeah, but what can be done, Aidan?
Well, this is the whole challenge. I mean, I think, Stephen, the difficulty is, and we know this so well from the background where you're speaking from, that because it has a name on it, Muslim, Christian, whatever, I think we have to get somewhere in behind that and try and tackle the humanity of it. Because this cannot be allowed to go on. Because even on the streets here this morning, you walk up to get the metro, it's covered now with military, naturally, and police, and everybody is on very, very high alert. And last night, because there were huge here in Paris also, fireworks, you can see the cynicism in a way that bangs and noises going off were all over France last night. I don't honestly know. To answer your question truthfully, Stephen, I'll try to be honest with you. I don't know how you tackle this.
Layla,
all I know is it has to be tackled.
Layla has just tweeted me.
Yeah.
And she says, the biased coverage of deaths in the West compared to deaths in other parts of the world contributes to the continuing slaughter.
Yeah, well, that's why, and I thank Leader for that comment. I wasn't trying to make myself out to be a great commentator or a great human being, but that's why I did mention Aleppo. I did mention the places here that my heart breaks with those people when they come and say to me, there were 150 people killed in my town last week. It gets very, very little notice here, naturally, because I think the point you made earlier was that people say, we know Nice. How many of us know Aleppo? How many of us know any of these places that where this is daily occurrence? Unless, and I mean this in the best sense, I'm fortunate enough to sit down with these people almost every week and listen to their stories as they tell them. And I would say Lelia's quite right. We have to find some way of saying if 84 deaths in Nice is not acceptable, then 84 deaths anywhere is not acceptable. And the same repugnance has to be expressed no matter where it happened. And I think that's part of our problem and it's part of our issue that it's almost becoming so great now. Does media know what to do? Does church know what to do? As I say, I could think of nothing else to do but to contact the bishop because I'm a Christian and say, if it meant that I could help in any way, please let me know. There might be somebody there from Ireland. There might be somebody there, English speaking, who wants a priest. Sure, I'm sure there's loads of great priests down there. But that's what we have to do. Begin to do something, and I honestly don't know beyond that.
And just finally, my goodness, the atmosphere in France must be different now. They were just coming off. François Hollande had announced in recent days that he was going to withdraw the state of emergency.
That's right.
After what happened in recent times. That has now been extended for another 3 months.
And 3 months, that's right.
Whether we like it or not, there must be an atmosphere of fear, which is what the terrorists are trying to achieve in that country. There must be.
Of course it is. But there's one thing maybe I could leave you with this note of hope, Stephen, that I'm no expert on it, but even in the worst times that I knew in Belfast, there was still a tremendous resilience in the people. And I can remember going to all sorts of places in the most awful circumstances and still finding a great amount of humanity. The vast, vast majority of the people that I'll meet on the streets of Paris today will be as concerned as I am. But they're good people and they're only looking for the best.
I'll leave you with this, Aidan. I'm just reading this together with you now. The AP news agency is reporting that the Children's Hospital in Nice says it has now treated some 50 children, including two who died during or after surgery.
That says everything, because the children love the fireworks. It's the one night of the year, Bastille Day, that they're allowed to stay up. They're brought down to the seafront, and you can understand why, if you really want to hurt families and kill children, that was the time to do it.
Father Aidan Troy, thank you for your time this morning. Thank you, sir.